Welcome to Wanna Be Clutter-Free, the podcast for ambitious moms who are ready to ditch the mess and stress for good. Let's simplify, organize, and create a life you actually love waking up to. Are you ready? Let's do this.
Welcome to the Wanna Be Minimalist Show, episode number 23. Today's episode, we'll be discussing why you need a stop doing list, what the heck a stop doing list is anyway, and how it's different from your average to-do list. Hey, wannabe minimalist friends, I'm your host, Deanna Yates, and this is the third episode in a trilogy of topics that I discussed as a Facebook Live within my private wannabe minimalist group. If you want first dibs at this kind of content, then head over to Facebook and join my group. It's totally free, and you can find us by clicking on the link in the show notes or by searching for wannabe minimalist on Facebook. Either way, I look forward to seeing you there. Let's get to it, shall we? So today, I want to talk about why you need a stop doing list. Now, have you ever heard of a stop doing list? Most of us probably haven't. You know, we are told about to-do lists and we make to-do lists and we try to make these lists to keep ourselves organized. And in some ways, this is the opposite of a to-do list, but it really is a way for you to be more organized and more intentional with your time. And that is one of the things that I find the most important. So I want to talk about this today. And how it compares to a traditional to-do list. Now, a traditional to-do list is a running tally of things we need to complete in the day, anything that you have to do on any given day. And I'm not gonna say that all to-do lists are bad. They're not inherently bad. But the pedestal that we have set to-do lists on, that we've created around this idea that we need to be busy and that this almighty to-do list is the one thing that's going to get us there, well, we need to break that down. We need to chop down that pedestal. We need to burn it to the ground and really get some perspective. So that is what today is all about. Now, recently I discussed why it's time to throw out your to-do lists. And if you haven't heard that, I want to take a minute just to do a quick recap. So first, your to-do list does not prioritize. When you make a to-do list, you simply just write down anything that's in your head or anything that you need to get done that day. I mean, perhaps it's just a running list. I've had those before. In my notebook, I just keep a running list of things that pop up or ideas that come up for the business. And that's not a bad thing, but it doesn't prioritize. It doesn't tell me what I need to do first. And there's no rhyme or reason to the order in which we put these things on this list. Now, think about a to-do list that you might have. You know, is there one you're currently working off of? Which is the most important thing on that task? Do you know? Do you have it designated? Is it at the top of the list? Is it highlighted? Is it bold? Does it have stars around it? Do you know what the most important thing is on your to-do list? Is there one way, one thing that would make anything else easier on that list? How do you know? Without a way to make sense of the items on your list, you will not be able to discern that. You will not be able to decide which is the most important. And so the reality is that this to-do list really doesn't help us as much as we've been told or sold that it would. The second reason that we need to reevaluate our to-do list is because your to-do list doesn't care about the same things you care about. Now, this one was controversial last time I said it, and I totally understand. It's really hard to get your head wrapped around this one because you're the person that made your to-do list. So what do you mean it doesn't care about the same things you care about? Of course it does. You put it together. You're the one that created it. Nobody else put these things on this list. But just because it made the list doesn't mean that it's the best thing for you. It doesn't mean that it has your interests or your long-term goals in mind. Most to-do lists are created just out of our daily chaos and the fact that we are running from one thing to another and just trying to put out these daily fires. They're not because we are looking long-term. And so rarely do these to-do lists move the needle. Rarely do they push us forward toward our long-term goals. You know, and putting off these bigger tasks in exchange for putting out those daily fires is what creates more chaos and just mental strain and adds expenses into our daily lives. So that's the reason number two I want us to get rid of our to-do list, because it doesn't really care about the same things we care about. And the third thing is that your to-do list never ends. That's the nature of a to-do list. Have you ever checked off all the things on your to-do list? If so, lucky you. I have not. It has definitely not been something that I have been super successful at. And for me, that to-do list and the fact that it was just always replenishing itself, I mean, it was like the villain in a superhero movie, right? You think you nailed it, you think you've gotten rid of it, and it just comes back. And it's always coming back, and I felt like I was never getting ahead. And it's because that's the inherent nature of that to-do list, that there is always something else to do. When you check something else off, there's usually something else you have to add to that list. And it's just so mentally draining. And on one hand, you feel really happy and productive and you feel like you're getting stuff done. And then the other hand, you have this sinking feeling inside that you will never be caught up. You'll never be able to relax. You'll never feel accomplished. And so these three reasons are why we must create the right routines for you, yourself and for your family, and why I want to share this idea about a stop doing list. So let's just take a minute. Now, the reason most people make a to-do list is because they want to reach a goal or they want to better themselves in some way, right? So let's take a look really quick at some of those things that we tell ourselves, things we tell ourselves we need or that we have to be or that we want in order for ourselves to be happy. You know, these are things like a clean house that's clutter-free, an awesome and fulfilling career that we love, you know, a job that we love that pays the bills and we just feel great going to. A balanced budget with plenty of money in the bank. Kids who are happy, healthy, smart, talented, smiling all the time. A loving and passionate relationship with your partner that gives us butterflies every day. An active social life with our friends and our loved ones that constantly brings us joy. A deep spiritual connection that allows us to feel abundant all the time. Oh, and of course, we want to look amazing in a swimsuit while doing all of this stuff, right? Now, here's the truth. Those might be our goals. And I'm not saying these are bad goals. These are amazing goals. I mean, if we all had that life, oh my gosh, we'd be super happy, I think. That's at least all we say we want. But none of us can do all of that. I just don't think it's possible. We only have 24 hours in a day. And in order for us to excel in one area of our life, another area is inevitably going to suffer. And that's okay. That's not a bad thing. This idea that we have a balanced life is a lie that we tell ourselves, and it really holds us back. You know, even those people that seem to be amazing at everything and really seem to have it all together, they probably feel inadequate in some area of their life. And if they don't, I can almost guarantee you that they have a fabulous team behind them, making it all appear so effortless. So these are things like having a house cleaner come in and help you keep your house clean. That's okay. I mean, if that is a reality that you can afford right now, do not feel guilty about that. Delegating tasks to your kids, that is not something that's bad. I mean, sometimes it's easier for us when we just start that way, you know, just to do it ourselves. It's just easier if we just do it. We know it'll get done right. It'll be done faster this time. We don't want to deal with the nagging and the hassle and the crying and the stress and the fighting, but that doesn't make it easier in the long run. That makes it easier right now. But these are things that we can add to our stop doing list. So let's get to look at that. It's the one tool that we can use to really get our priorities in order. The stop doing list is a gentle reminder of the stuff that we do every day that doesn't matter. And so I'm proposing that there are a few things that we can stop doing immediately. I'm going to name five things. We can stop doing these things today. It really will help your life move in the direction you want it to. So number one, stop apologizing. Oh, this one was a big one for me. For years, my husband tried to open my eyes to this, and it took me that long to overcome it. Now, when we say sorry and it becomes a habit, it really loses its meaning. And it's harder to apologize when we actually need to. But more than that, saying sorry all the time really minimizes our own self-worth. Because often we're apologizing for just taking up space, for just being here and having our own needs and our wants and our desires. And when we do that, we subconsciously tell ourselves that we are less important than someone else. And honestly, that just needs to stop. You are important, you are worthy, and you deserve all of the happiness that you open yourself up to. So that's number one, stop apologizing. Number two is stop saying yes immediately. Now, I am a people pleaser, so I want to be liked. I want to say yes all the time. I want to be helpful, and I want people to be able to turn to me. And just because I've stopped saying yes to everything doesn't mean that I'm letting people down. So I used to say yes to pretty much anything people asked me to do. Even if it totally stressed me out, I said, come hell or high water, I'm going to figure this out. Now, I have learned to set better boundaries because once I was saying yes to everything, I could never do anything well. I couldn't do it all. It's just true. You cannot do it all. So if this is something that you struggle with, this is going to be your new favorite phrase. Whenever anybody asks you anything, anything at all, you say, let me check my schedule. That's it. Super simple.
We live in San Diego and we do not have air conditioning. So come summer, grilling outside isn't just preferred, it is absolutely required. I will not add one more degree of heat to this house if I can help it. And grilling nights work best when quality protein is already in the freezer, ready to go. The nights it's not, well, that's when dinner becomes a chaotic scramble. So I just ordered from Omaha Steaks, and I went straight for the Burger Perfection flight because my husband and daughter, well, they have declared themselves official beef burger connoisseurs, and we're doing a family taste test. 20 pure ground beef burgers made from 5 different cuts of steak, filet mignon, New York strip, ribeye, brisket, and sirloin. Each burger is ground from a single cut, not blended. It's steakhouse quality without the steakhouse price. Omaha Steaks has spent over 100 years perfecting this. Every cut of meat arrives vacuum sealed, flash frozen, and ready to go the moment you need it. No scrambling, no guessing. Try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99, plus get $35 off with promo code BEEF. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details.
Me, check my schedule. Now, this gives you time to make a more level-headed decision. And this way, you don't feel pressured when people are around you. They're looking at you. They're staring at you. They're saying, okay, I asked you. Now what? You can say, let me check my schedule. Gives you a minute to take a breath. Even if you look at your phone right there, even if you say, oh my gosh, this is something I totally want to do. If you get yourself in that habit, you can say, oh, let me check my schedule. Looks like I'm free. Yes, let's do it. Because if it's not a heck yes or something you really want to do, you should say no. Because in the end, if you say something out of obligation, it will just grate at you and you will do it with a slightly bitter heart. If it's something you decide that you don't want to do, that it's an obligation and it's just not something that fits in with your long-term goals for yourself and your family, you can say, you know, that sounds fun, but I can't seem to fit it into the schedule right now. Things are crazy. And usually that's true. Now, right now, the good news is that we are all stuck at home. Nobody's asking us to do anything. Nobody's asking us to get together on the weekends or join a soccer team or, you know, be part of a potluck or any of these things. So right now, it's a great opportunity to take a breather and start practicing this phrase. And if this is something that you struggle with, honestly, practice with your spouse. Practice with your kids. Your kids love role-playing. I mean, they want to play house all day or, you know, play superheroes, whatever. So they'll play along with this. So you can just ask them to, you know, join on in. Be like, mommy has a game to play today. And they'll have fun with it. So practice, because there will be a time when the shelter-in-place order is lifted. And there will be a time when we get back to our busy schedules. And being able to say, let me check my schedule, will save you so much headache and time. I promise. This one is gold. So that's number two. Stop saying yes immediately. Number three is stop checking your cell phone all the time. Again, a lot of these come from things I used to do. So I am not harping on you to do anything that I have not done myself. But I have a really interesting statistic to share. The latest research shows that the average person spends 5 hours a day, 5 hours a day on their phone. That's a lot. I mean, hands down, your cell phone is your biggest time suck right now. I mean, think about it. Facebook, Instagram, Candy Crush, Pinterest, email. What else are you doing on there? I mean, these are all things that just suck you down that rabbit hole and waste your time. I've had to delete games off of my phone because I do get addicted. And so I've had to delete things, and it's been a super time saver for me. But just think about that 5 hours a day. Now, if you grow up in this cell-crazed world that we all live in now, that means the equivalent of 16 years of your life will be spent on your cell phone. 16 years. That's how long it takes your children to grow up and drive a car. 16 years. That is insane. Now, if you don't think you spend that much time on your phone, you can see for yourself. Download the Moment app. It's free. You can put it on your phone and it will tell you where you spend your time. You also can restrict different apps for different times. So you can turn off social media for different times. You can turn off games. It's really helpful. So I highly recommend that. But I knew my cell phone was a problem when my daughter started acting up. You know, she was progressively vying for my attention. And since I have put more of a limit on my cell phone time, it's definitely helped. And so it was a big problem for me. And now with this homeschooling and working and all of our family time all jumbled up and kind of 24/7, having some boundaries has really helped. So when you start to struggle, think about that 16 years, and I highly doubt that at the end of your life, you are going to want to look back and say that your legacy was spending 16 years scrolling endlessly through Facebook, right? All right, so number three, stop checking your cell phone all the time. Number four, stop shopping for good deals. The good news is that this shelter-in-place order has helped with this too, but you know, when you find a good deal at the store, do you jump all over it? Well, most of us do. That's why sales work. You know, it can be very hard to pass up a buy one, get one free or a double coupon opportunity, especially when you think you might need it in the future. Now, unfortunately, more often than not, we just end up buying too much. That's why we still need to declutter our homes and we have all of this stuff shoved in closets and drawers and under our beds and our garages. We can't even park in them because we buy too much stuff. Now, that's often because something is a good deal. In the end, though, we're not saving money when we have a closet full of cheap clothes we don't wear or food filling our pantries that we don't get to eat because it expires. And so we're still wasting money because we're still spending, even if something is less than it would have been, because you still had to spend that dollar or $2 or $5 that you didn't need to spend in the first place. Now, right now is a really good time to look at our spending habits. With most stores closed, you know, we're not window shopping. We're not going in and browsing and being enticed to buy something. You know, it's also a good time to unsubscribe from those sales emails that you're getting because, again, just limit the temptation. When you're shopping, when we get back to shopping, you know, commit to sticking to only buying things on your shopping list. Yes, even if it's 70% off, even if you have a double coupon, even if it will be super cheap. If it's not on your list, don't get it. For example, if I go to the store and I'm looking for cereal, milk, and batteries, I am not going to go down the magazine aisle or go down and get a candle. I need to be very cognizant about what I'm buying. If it didn't make it on the list, it wasn't important enough to get this time around. And so that is, you know, one of the ways we can stop shopping. And I do show you how to set up you know, online grocery shopping in my new course, Automate Your Home, Put Your Routines on Autopilot. And it is amazing how just that one tip really has saved us so much money and time. But honestly, just by passing up these deals, you are going to be able to, you know, really make good headway here. And it's a great place to start. And the fifth thing I want to talk about is the stop doing it all on your own. Now, do you feel comfortable asking for help? Most of us don't. I myself would prefer to do things on my own. If I could do everything on my own, it'd be fantastic. I'm definitely a DIYer. I definitely have my own things and I like to do things my own way. But we have been sold a lie that we need to be superwoman and that asking for help is a sign of weakness, but it's not true. Take a minute and think about how great you feel when you can help somebody out who truly needs it. Doesn't it feel great? Doesn't it make you feel like a wonderful human being? Well, you are depriving people of that feeling when you don't ask for help when you need it. I'm not saying you need to be a damsel in distress and always feign that you need help when you don't. But if you do need help, ask for it. People want to help and people feel good when they help. And so, you know, we often feel embarrassed or ashamed to ask for assistance, but that's just not the case. People don't look at us like a charity case when we need a little bit of help. And it can be something as simple as asking a neighbor for a babysitting exchange, or, you know, asking your kids to take on some more chores, or asking your husband for help. You know, with this whole stay-at-home thing, my husband and I have had to work out a new schedule. And that means that Tuesday, Thursdays, he has school in the morning. You know, he does our schooling and I do it on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And it gives us time to work uninterrupted. And it has been amazing. So, you know, even though we would like to do everything on our own, it is unrealistic. And we need to give ourselves grace around that. And we need to understand that that is okay. And it's okay to give ourselves a break and ask for help when we need it. So tip number 5 was to stop trying to do everything on your own. Well, I hope that gave you some new ideas when it comes to to-do lists and stop doing lists. And now I want to ask you, what are you putting on your stop doing list? I want to be in your corner, cheering you on as you commit to stop doing whatever it is on your list. Come on over to my free private wannabe minimalist group on Facebook and share your thoughts from today's episode. Go ahead and comment on the live video or the link for this podcast episode. The group is totally free and you can find us by clicking on the link in the show notes or by searching for Wannabe Minimalist on Facebook. I want to meet you there and connect with you. Before I sign off, I do want to leave you with one little bit of advice. And I know it can be hard to stop doing. You know, we live in this culture where being busy is equated with being important and being productive. So it is so easy to mistake motion for action. But if you aren't making progress toward those long-term goals, then you're just spinning your wheels. That wraps up today's episode. I'm actually going to be taking a couple weeks off from this podcast and will be returning in May with more simple and intentional living ideas, decluttering tips, and thoughts on how to successfully live with less. Until then, stay healthy, sane, and safe. Cheers.